Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It's your Caper Zero Cody, and we're keeping it geekly with our new guest, Dirk Manning. Well, I mean, sort of new. Like, you are the first creator I've ever met personally and then interviewed. This is like an awesome experience. Wow, so welcome to the stream. It's awesome to get you on.
Thank you. Yeah, it's an honor. I've been a fan of what you do for a long time. And for people that maybe aren't familiar with your show, as well as all the people, obviously, who are, I just want to very publicly commend you for what you do, man. Because this is so important. Talking to creators and giving us a chance to come on and chop it up and talk shop and get to meet people and things like that. You're providing such a service, and you're one of those guys that are so dedicated to this. I think of people like Jay Clark from Elegant Weapon and Kurt Sasso and Two Geeks Talking, and then you guys are just soldiers and you provide a very valuable service to the industry and to creators. So thank you for having me out. I really appreciate it.
Man, I'm gonna be honest. When we met at the Fantasticon and you were like, "Hey, can I get a picture?" I was like, "What?" I was like so mind blown because that's the first time anyone that I didn't know was like, "Hey, can I get a picture?" And they're like, "Dude, really? I geeked about it so hard." I remember going home talking to my girl about it, being like, "Dude, like, this is legit. I feel so legit right now." And then, like, you just, I'm not going to be able to leave the room. My head's going to be just 50 times its size.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, and it's so fascinating about the internet and stuff like that. It's like, oftentimes on the internet, we grow fandom or relationships or familiarity with people. And maybe they don't always know that we follow their work or as big as a fan of them as they are, I guess. You know, I mean, I have that happen a lot at cons where people come up and, in fact, I was just, in the last 2 weeks, I've been in Dallas, outside Dallas, Texas, and then up in Traverse City, Michigan. So I've like run the gamut. Yeah. And at both shows, I had people come up to me that say, "Hey, you know, I've been a fan of you from the Right or Wrong column back at Newsarama or from this book. And, I've always, you know, kind of been nervous to come talk to you, or I never got a chance to talk to you." And to me, I'm like, "Yeah, why, man? I'm here. Let's talk.
I'm just a guy.
I put my shoes on one at a time like everybody else, you know. So I get what you're saying, and it always blows my mind, too, because it's like, especially when you're, you know, I guess I say my line of work, that's not even accurate. I guess with me, with having that persona, the guy with the top hat and the scarf, like we were joking before we went on live, you know, about, I think sometimes people get the wrong impression because I write a lot of horror, you know, that maybe they see the black suit. Like the joke was when I was down at Bedrock City Comic-Con in Katy, Texas last weekend, I wore this in 96 degree weather for like 8 hours. I'm like, "Where are you from?" I'm like, "Just out to Detroit." And they're like, "Man, Detroit, you're not going to make it." I'm like, "I'm wearing this suit all day. If Johnny Cash can wear a black suit all day, so can I." Mm-hmm. And, you know, but people just get maybe different impressions of you, and then they get to meet you and talk to you and see that, you know, it's a different animal. So, no, man, it's cool. Thank you. It was really cool to meet you. So.
It's wild how close we are, too. We're just literally stone throws away.
You're right. Well, that's it. You know, I mean, the internet's wild. When I started my career in comics, everyone I worked with, I met online, and I was working with people from Ireland and from New York and from Louisiana and from Kansas and all over. And, it was many years before I started working with people that were actually like within driving distance of me, that like we could like have dinner or meet up. And it wasn't unusual to not meet. In fact, my buddy Austin McKinley, who I've been working with a lot lately, we joke, we've seen each other more in person in the last 2 years than we have in the first 15 years of working together.
That's awesome.
He was in Florida, then he was in Canada, you know, so it's just, yeah, it's an interesting, fascinating world to be in comics and to have these opportunities and stuff. So
you give me the perfect segue. You know, I always love introducing the creator and then going into their history. So real quick, we got you down for, you know, Buried But Not Dead, Twisted, Haunted, High-Ons. And I got to ask, you know, was that similar to the ICP? I know ICP did the Pendulum. Was that kind of in the vein of that, or their own separate kind of story?
This is totally separate. Twisted, a lot of people may know Twisted as kind of being the proteges of ICP back in the day, you know, especially if you're from the Midwest, you know.
Yeah.
You know, ICP was a very huge phenomenon, and truth be told, they're a huge cultural phenomenon. Twisted originally started under their record label, Psychopathic. They originally started as kind of like proteges of ICP. Over the years, they eventually went off. They formed their own record label and really, I think, evolved a lot of what they do. I mean, now they've done songs with Ice Nine Kills, with Danny Filth from Cradle of Filth. They've been on Billboard, things like that. They've been touring all over. You know, they're just touring with Static X, you know? This, what we're doing with the Haunted Hions, is very, very separate. It's through Source Point Press. It's been nominated for 4 Ringo Awards.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But yeah, it's a totally separate thing. But the ICP Twisted connection is real, you know, but they're also on very, I think, separate, I don't know if I go even far as say parallel, but maybe divergent paths these days.
Yeah.
But they both just happen to love comics. And Brian Polito was the one that, with Chaos Comics, did the old ICB comic back in the day.
That's so cool.
Now Source Point's doing, working with Twisted, so.
It's such a wild collaboration, too, because I remember growing up as, like, a skater kid just, like, bumping Twisted all the time. So I remember when we were talking and I'd seen that you were working, you know, with Twisted. I was like, dude, this is crazy. This is, like, me coming back as an adult and, like, consuming this material again.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because I hear that so much. I hear people say, sometimes almost kind of like, you know, I used to listen to Twisted like back in the day when they see the comic on my table.
They like show their hatchet, man. They're like,
right. Yeah, exactly. You know, and I'm like, that's cool. You might really like this book. It was nominated for 4 Ringo Awards, including Best Comedy Series twice. You know, Maria Piscosta, the illustrator, was nominated for Best Illustrator. You know, the colorist was nominated for Best Colorist. It's a fun book, you know, and people are like, well, you know, I'm not really into that music anymore. That's how much like adult Scooby-Doo, you know? I mean, that's really what this book boils down to. And I take a lot of pride in the fact that people that maybe would be initially a little bit hesitant to read the book have read it and gone on to enjoy it so much. Now we've done 2 volumes so far, the second trade paperback.
That's so awesome.
And it's cool to be able to kind of break that down and then also reconnect people with something they used to love and rediscover it through a new light, or break down that perception that, boy, this is like a Juggalo book. Like, no, it's a comic book, and it just happens to star 2 guys who are real life people, and they're part of that culture. And the biggest compliment I get in that book is people say after they read the book, they feel like they get to know Madrox Monoxide or Jimmy and Paul a lot better.
Yeah.
And so that's it. They're like, I'd like to hang out with these guys. I'm like, you probably would. They're pretty cool dudes. You know, I enjoy working with them.
That's so cool. Did you get to like meet them, or was it kind of just over emails and such?
Oh my gosh, no! I've met them.
That's so cool.
Countless times, you know, countless times at this point. Worked with them a lot. They do their own convention up in Livonia, Astronomicon. Their 7th convention, which is 6.5. Long story.
Is that but, in Detroit or?
Yeah, Livonia, Michigan. Yeah, just outside Detroit. Cool. I've been at the convention every year. I've been at headquarters with them. So I've worked on this book with them, you know, face to face via email and stuff like that. You know,
that's so cool.
And,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's what a world. I'll tell you a fun thing too that's kind of crazy. Back in the day, before I started comics, to kind of keep my hand moving, I actually did entertainment journalism for years, including a lot of like magazines around like, you know, like south of Detroit, Northwest Ohio, things like that. You know, I interviewed one of the bands I worked with a couple times was the Insane Clown Posse back in the day. So I remember Twisted before they even really started working as Twisted, but rather when they worked as House of Crazies.
Yep, that's,
you know, like, you write the original version, you know, with ROC and stuff like that. And like, now I got one of the posters and stuff like, you know, from like back in the day, you know. And it's this weird full circle thing that I eventually left music journalism to pursue my passion of writing comic books. And then many years later, through Gary Reed of Caliber Comics, he got a hold of me because he published my book, Right or Wrong. And he knew my work and stuff like that. And he gets hold of me one day, goes, Dirk, he goes, I've got this band and they want to do a comic. And he goes, I know you're more of like a metal guy, so I don't know if the bands are going to be your scene. He goes, but I think you would do a good job with what they want to do here. And we lost Gary a couple of years back. It still choked me up. But we lost Gary a couple of years back, but I would do anything pretty much for Gary. I said, well, Gary, who's the band? You know, provided I was the right fit. I'm like, who's the band?
Yeah.
goes, ah, there's this kind of rap, kind of rock crossover band out of Detroit called Twisted. I go, Twisted, huh? Yeah, that's fine. I think we can make this work. You know, and actually, ironically, we Gary passed right as we were closing the deal to do a one-shot with Twisted, which is what led to me then taking Twisted to Source Point Press rather than than Gary's caliber with Gary. Mm-hmm. Because Source Point Press, Travis McIntyre, Josh Warner, they were really kind of like the spiritual successors of all the work that Gary had done with Caliber. And we did a one-shot. We launched it at New York Comic Con and dedicated the book to Gary. And it's gone on ever since. And we've just had a lot of success with it. The book continues to get new readers and things like that. Like I said, we're about to launch. We're about to be released at the second trade paperback, Twisted Haunted Lions, Curse of the Green Book. Again, that was also nominated for Best Humor Comic of the Year 2022. And it's a wild ride, though, that full circle of knowing them as a fan of the music and then working with their mentors, then years later coming around. And Twisted had no idea who I was when I started working with them. Yeah. So I actually sprung that on them years later. Actually, we were on a panel together. And I'm like, by the way, I told them the story. And they choked when they heard it. Mm-hmm. Like, what? I said, yeah, I was the guy that worked with, ICP during these things. I remember you guys, House of Crazies, and saw your concert at this venue. And
I feel like I'm like reliving my childhood all over again, man. House of Crazies, I have not heard that in years. Oh my goodness.
Now you'll be going back doing a little Google and going up on Spotify.
Yes, yes. you also wrote The Adventures of Cthulhu Jr. and Friends. My daughter, we got this at that con. She read it from like the ride to Toledo till we got home and then finished it at home. And then like I would catch her reading this in one go almost every other day. She loves this book. You're just killing it. Man. Nightmare World, you have 52 8-page stories. Like, man, where did this all begin for you?
It began honestly with Nightmare World. Nightmare World was my first ever comic series. I was kind of one of the OGs of online comics. Nightmare World published online starting back, I want to say, in 2003, because it's my 20th anniversary as a published comic writer. So we launched March 2003. We did 2 pages a week online every Thursday. So we had a new 8-page story every month, right? Mm-hmm. Went on, ended up publishing over 52 stories originally. The 52 stories kind of became canon way before the new 52, I might add, and way before. And the book went on to be published several times. We were published by some smaller publishers. We got published by Image Comics, published by Devil's Due. And then the next month or so, we'll be having a new trade paperback softcover edition of Nightmare World, the complete collection, which collects all 52 stories in a giant 500-page, roughly, kind of omnibus collection
that people
can read the series in print, which is cool for the 20th anniversary of the book to be able to still have that book be in print, still have that book be evergreen. And it's just a cool series, man, because it's 52 stories, each one written by me, drawn by a different artist or art team. But what's cool is as you read all the stories together over the 52 stories, they all weave into one giant story. Yeah, it's fun. And I talk about that a lot. That was my first comic series I ever wrote. You never know if you're going to get a second chance, right?
Yeah.
Come out hot. I talk about the creation of that a lot in Right or Wrong as well, about how that was, working with all these artists from all over the world to do this series and do 8-page stories and be involved in the ground floor of what became online publishing and things like that.
I also really love, too, like how you took those series and then I think about maybe 10 years later when you first did a the public's published print, you took mm-hmm. the extra money you made and paid those artists. Like you made a promise to them that if you had made any money, you would pay them. And I loved how you kept that promise.
Yeah. I talk about this in the new edition, Right or Wrong, now on Kickstarter at rightorwrongbook.com. Let's see the little thing right there. I talk about this. When we were first publishing Nightmare World, there was no money for anybody. In fact, I was paying to do this, between the website and stuff like that, webmasters. And again, I also was very fortunate that I had a lot of people that really believed in what we were doing to help out. donate web space and donate some stuff. And the artist putting their time in to kind of create a working portfolio. And one of the things I promised every artist was, if we ever get to the point we're making money on this series, you will get paid before I get paid.
That's so awesome.
And we ended up doing a Kickstarter from Devil's Due. It became the largest creator-owned Kickstarter of its, to that point in the history of the company, over there. And we did over $45,000 on Kickstarter.
Yeah, casual, you know.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, this was massive. But again, this was a series. This campaign was like 15 years in the making, right? Because we did the first few volumes through Image. Image didn't publish the fourth volume. Went to Devil's Due. Blew it up. Became a big deal. Right place, right time. But what I was able to do then is use that money to print the book. Because again, when you do $45,000 on Kickstarter, that doesn't mean you have $45,000 in your pocket.
Yeah.
That means you got to print $45,000 worth of books.
And ship.
Yeah, and ship them and everything else, right? However, I was able to have a little bit of money left, and I was able to then go back. And one of the happiest moments of my career, Cody, I swear to you, and I swear to everyone, I talk about it in the book, sitting at my kitchen table and writing every artist a check. Now, I'm not going to say it was tens of thousands of dollars, but for some of them, it was thousands of dollars. You know, and it was a page rate that was comparable to not only the profits of the book, but what they did at the time. And everyone got some free money, you know.
And the biggest thing is you didn't have to. It was like 10 years. Some of them probably forgot, I would imagine.
Well, it was like, actually, I think it might have been closer to 15 years, to be honest.
Yeah.
10 years since the end of the series. But yeah, what's funny is I didn't have to. I mean, I said I would. So I kind of did.
I agree.
But I know what you're saying. I'm not trying to bust you up, but I mean, but it just, you know, and it's funny. There were two artists in particular that had seemingly dropped off the face of the earth. And one of them I was able to connect with 3 years after that. The other one, I finally, by fluke, just found like an old email, because, you know, it was like the email wasn't the name. And I was able to send them a check. Probably 4 years after everyone else got theirs, I finally found them. I put that money aside. And even if it was for one story, both of them, it was for one story. I said, hey, this isn't a ton of money, but everyone got this much per story, and I want to make sure you get yours as well.
That's so
and,
cool.
And they were really cool about it. They were appreciative, and it made me feel good, because even of the type of person, like, having those two people that didn't get paid, it was like, if they're alive, I want to pay him. And honestly,
he was digging at you.
Yeah, one of them I honestly thought maybe was no longer with us, and I found out that was true. Not to be morbid, but I found the email just on a unrelated. You know, it's kind of one of those things. Like, wait a minute, and I don't know why. I don't know why I thought, well, maybe it was this. I found it, and sure enough, they were just kind of living off the grid. You know, they were just not really on social media, things like that. But they had email. Answered the email, very pleasant. And I said, oh my gosh, not can I send you the check, but I want to send you books. You know, so I sent him copies of the book. I sent him copies of Tales of Mystery and all this stuff, and got to be in touch again. And it was really cool, man. It really
That's probably what they wanted, though, being so far off the grid. They were probably happy to hear that it was hard to find them.
Right, you know, right, exactly. You know, I mean, social media is not for everybody. Social media can be very taxing for your mental health, you know?
Yeah.
But it was a really... It was one of the best moments of my career, was to be able to do that, you know, and pay everybody out. You know, part of me is like, I'm not gonna lie, part of me is like, how hard do I need to look? Or do people really want to look? Like, well, here you go. I said, just here's your money. Promise to promise. That was it.
Yes, yes.
And it felt great. And I've been very fortunate to continue to enjoy the very positive relationships with a lot of people I work with. I mean, not everybody. People change, you know, situations change, dynamics change. I talk about that book as well. Towards the end of Right or Wrong, there's a chapter called Words Worth a Thousand Pictures. And I interview different artists about, and I ask every artist the same, or every illustrator artist, the same three questions, you know, about what can writers do to, what do writers do that you like, what do they don't like, and what can writers do to help increase your chance of working with someone of your caliber. And I going back doing this new edition of the book, which I know we'll talk about in a minute, but I had to put a disclaimer, like, you know, relationships change and things like that. And there's people that maybe I was tighter with at one point in my life that I'm not as tight with now, but that doesn't invalidate the authenticity of the advice.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not one, I'm not going to do revisionist history. Like, oh, this person was a, you know, me and this person got in a fight. I'm going to take him out of the book. No, that advice, if I felt, it's kind of like that integrity thing, you know, it's like, if the advice they gave was valuable back then, it's still valuable now.
I love that.
You know,
I love that. Because you have the opportunity to be, you know, some would call it petty, you know, others would call it, you know, rightful. But you have
trifling.
But you know, hey, you decide, hey, all differences aside, you're going to keep it in the book. And that's what we're here to talk about, you know, right or wrong, a writer's guide to creating comics. Someone who has raised $485,000 in pre-sales on Kickstarter. A man who's done so many different series. I mean, you know, where do we even begin with this?
And that's total. That's not right or wrong. I mean, that's the total.
Yeah, total. But that's still, I think, very important to bring up because it gives very big validation to, you know, what you're capable of. I mean, I read a couple chapters of this and we were talking backstage. You offer such raw insight. I mean, you cut straight to the point without sugarcoating it. And I really love that. And it speaks volumes. I think, you know, talking to you the last, you know, 10, 20 minutes, it really is like you in this book. I love it, man.
Thank you. For better or for worse, when you read the book, it's like you're talking to me. Right?
Yeah.
That really grates on some people when you write in a way that is conversational. But I tell people, you know, I mean, again, full disclosure, this is a guide. It's a guide to reading comics. And people come up to me at conventions or they'll email me and they'll ask me advice. I'll say, hey, you know, again, this is my 20th anniversary as a published writer. And I have published 20 graphic novels. I've had 20 graphic novels published over the last 20 years. Not including stories and anthologies and things like that, right?
Yeah.
I always said when I started, if I ever got to the point I was making comics, I would do everything I could to help other people get there. Because I know what it's like to literally dream about it and wake up with tears in your eyes because you're so happy because you had that dream where your book got published, and then you wake up and you realize it's not. It's just that heartbreak. I mean, I've lived that, and I came up through some maybe very challenging circumstances, you know, over the years, and I said, if I ever get to the point where I can do this, I'll do everything I can to help other people do it. And that's what the book's about. But as a result, the book is just like me talking to you right now, parentheticals and all. You know, it's like, I don't want this to be a textbook. I want this to be a guide. I want this to be something to help you out. You know, I want this to feel like, you know, we're in the room chatting and riffing, and people will email me or talk to me at a convention and say, hey, what can you tell me about this? And don't get me wrong, if anyone ever asks me a question, I do my best to answer it. If it needs to get more involved past that, I tell people, I said, look, I didn't write a 260-page book to bilk you out of $20-25. But the best thing you can do, and if you can't do it now, do it later. When you get an Amazon gift card, do it then. Say, buy the book, read the book. If you have any questions after that that are not in this book, I'll do what I can to help you out to answer you as possible. You know. And again, I mean, somebody has a quick question to get started. I get it. I understand. But sometimes people like want to go and go and go, and it's like, I don't always have the capacity to do that.
Yeah.
I spent time to write this for you. Here. It's $20-25. Buy the, you know, buy this. It'll tell you everything I can tell you. And then if you have questions after that, then we'll talk from there. And then that also tells me too, and at the risk of sounding like a meritocracy person, but it's like, are you willing to put that in? You know, I mean,
that's the big question.
And again, don't get me wrong. I have been broke. I understand sometimes $20 is just what you don't have. Okay. When you do get the point, read this and it doesn't help you out, you know, but that's what I tell people about the book too. It's a pay it forward book. The new edition of the book at rightorwrongbook.com. Sorry, I'm backwards. I got to.
I was like, you got it.
It's a re-release of the new edition of the book that came out about 10 years ago. It's about 30% new content. There's a new introduction, a new epilogue where I talk about the process of when I was writing the book the first time. It's 260 pages of a guy who's written comics and had comics published mostly creator-owned, for 20 years saying, if you want to do this, here's everything I can tell you.
Yeah.
From, I have the idea, I want to make a book, I don't know how to meet artists, I don't know how to get started, to make it the comic. It's my pay it forward. It's that simple. Like I said, I'm not out to get rich, I'm not out to jam anybody up. I just want to help other people that want to invest in themselves and make the stuff. Here's everything I can tell you to get you started. Because honestly, I want to read more good comics. I want more people out there that can navigate this path and make cool comics. Again, I was just at a con this weekend up at Cherry Capital Comic Con, Traverse City. When I got a chance to break with my table, I was buying books from other creators that looked interesting. You know, two people I know have been working on books for a while, had new books come out. I ran to their table like, oh my God, I'm so excited to get this. Yeah. You know, I love comics and I love, even despite challenges and hardships and times of frustration, I'm so grateful that I have the opportunity to do this. And if I can help open that door for other people, like I've had the door open for me over the years, high tide raises all ships. You know,
absolutely.
I just want to do my part to help out.
But sometimes that door doesn't always open. I mean, you make it very clear, you know, comics is work. You work two jobs to fund this. I respect that hustle so much. You know, it reminds me, you know, when I first started podcasting on Talk Geekly, I would read comics like on lunch, you know, so instead of eating, or I would eat while I was reading and try not to mess up the pages so I could prepare for that podcast at any cost. And like, you know, right now I'm a little bit more better with my scheduling and everything, but just like that, you know, what you need to put into this to get it going. I mean, man, it is awesome. I think right now would be the perfect segue. Let's go ahead and head over to that Kickstarter and check it out in its glory. So,
yeah.
And then go ahead, hold up that. We got that special Dirk Manning figurine. And
I didn't forget about it. We got the book, and then we also got this. What you can get along with the book, and this is crazy. This is a Dirk. I call this the Desk Dirk. It was made by Knucklehead Toys. 20 years in the game, I don't get a pension. But I did get an action figure, you know, and let's be honest, if I had to pick 20 years ago, you get one, I would have done this. So I'm in a toy line with Guar.
Oh, wow.
Cheech and Chong.
Oh, my God.
Jelly Roll. Art the Clown from Terrifier. Twisted.
Nope, here.
And then me.
So
you're going to get the little Desk Dirk. I tell people, it's like, this is the only time I'm offering the figure via mail order. Normally you have to get this to me at a convention. It's limited edition, but this is the one time that I'm offering it. And if you want to get a little Desk Dirk, put them on your desk to remind you what to do, what not to do. You know, whatever, as I talk about mistakes in the book too. It's just a cool little opportunity if you want to tack on something a little bit extra, the limited edition figure.
Hold up that book for us as well. Let's get a larger look at that cover.
Right here, man. So yeah, this is the original edition of Right or Wrong, Writer's Guide to Creating Comics. Again, this original version of the book was published by Caliber. It's 215 pages. The new second edition of the book, 260 pages.
Wow.
Again, and what I did is I went through and added a bunch of context and things like that. When I was taking, it's being published by Sourcepoint Press.
Mm-hmm.
When I was, this is the real talk, when I was preparing to move this book over to Sourcepoint Press with a new edition, originally I was just going to do a stealth update on it, right? I was going to go through, just make some edits and things like, oh yeah, there I am right there. And I was going to go through, just do some stealth edits on the book and things like that, and then just release the new edition through Sourcepoint Press. As I went through the book, though, I found there's some things I needed to update with technology, with prices, and then there were also some situations where I felt I could add some context while still maintaining what was largely a time capsule feel of the book, right?
Okay.
I didn't want to rewrite the book. There will be a Right or Wrong Volume 2. But I wanted to, because I kind of started to straddle this fine line between keep the passion and the chutzpah of this up-and-coming creator writing and making his first comic book series with Nightmare World, but also giving universal truths to people that are still doing it.
And so things change too, right?
What's that?
Things change too over the course of the years too.
They do, like technology. One of the things I talk about in this version of the book is make sure to email yourself a copy of your script. You don't really do that anymore, right? But what I do talk about is, okay, great, you have Google Drive. What happens if you lose access to your Gmail?
That's a good point.
Right? Right. So if you're going to have online storage, have a separate thing. Have Box or Dropbox or, mm-hmm. you know, some other separate site with a separate login that you can get to, right? Or have a dummy backup email account through a different provider, you know, so that you, if you're going to store stuff that way. So eventually what happened was what I originally intended to be very small updates and edits, I kept the exact same structure of the book. I did add new introduction, add new epilogue, about 30% new and updated content, and about 24 graphics and photos in here now as well. People that have followed my career know I am not a person that likes to be, I'm not very photogenic. A voice for the written page, the printed page, and that face for the printed page that's half covered. But I realized part of the journey, and if I'm going to talk to people about making comics, you kind of need to show them you're a real person. I use that picture you can see with the top hat and the scarf, and that's kind of like my brand, because again, I have 20 different books. I don't want my brand to be Nightmare World. I don't want my brand to be Tales of Mystery or Cthulhu Jr. No matter how much I love those books, I am my brand.
So why the top hat and the scarf, though, for your brand? Like, what kind of influence that look?
It's twofold. One, again, I've never been comfortable on camera. Mm-hmm. I've never been comfortable on photographs. People that meet me at shows or might see me here may find that hard to believe. I'm really pretty introverted when I'm not doing stuff like this, when I'm not working, when I'm not talking about stuff I'm passionate about. And also, like I said a minute ago, I wanted a brand, an icon that would transcend potentially my whole career if I had to. I didn't want to be the Nightmare World guy. I love Nightmare World. Nightmare World is in print 20 years later. I still sell Nightmare World every time I do a signing, right? Mm-hmm. I'm exceptionally proud of it. Cthulhu Jr. is flying off the shelves right now. We got the plushie, for God's sake.
I know, it's like, so adorable. I'm about to pick one up for my daughter. She's going to love
right.
it.
We have a plushie, right? It's crazy. So I love this book too, but my brand is me, yeah. right? And I can do a wrestling book with Tony Schiavone and Arn Anderson. I can do a supernatural comedy book with Twisted. I can do a dark horror noir like Tales of Mystery. I didn't want my brand to be tied to any one of those things. So we created, Jim Brennington came up with this idea when I was talking to him about it. He was a letterer I worked with pretty exclusively at Nightmare World. He goes, I've got just the idea. And he told me, I just started dying. And he's like, yeah, what if we did this? You know, a top hat and a scarf. And I loved it because it makes me laugh. Mm-hmm. Every time I see it, it's just so tongue-in-cheek. The other piece, which I don't think I've ever talked about publicly on a podcast before, I'm a huge horror fan. Mm-hmm. Huge horror fan. And love classic horror, love all good horror. Anything that's not just gross, bloody boob stuff.
Yeah.
I just want something to I love horror. I think that horror speaks to the human condition better than almost any other genre. I've always been a fan of the Lon Chaney image from London After Midnight. The top hat and the big eyes and the teeth, right?
Okay.
It's just such an iconic image. A lot of people don't know the name London After Midnight, but when they see that photo, it's this lost photo. It got burned up in like the 20s or whatever, just gone. And he was like reaching out, you know, he's like, you know, the teeth, and I was like, oh my God, that's such a striking image. And I always daydreamed, just like I dream about, you know, all the books we lost in the Gray Library in Alexandria.
Yeah.
I dream about London After Midnight. I'm like, man, somewhere someone has to have a copy of this film. You know, somebody has to have it. And there's been rumors over the years. Oh, someone found a print, blah, blah, blah. And it always pans out, turns out to be true. But that also kind of influenced the decision to go with this look. And again, Cody, talk about full circle and things like that. This fall, this Halloween, I am writing, well, it's written and will be released to Source Point Press, the graphic novel adaptation of the lost horror classic, London After Midnight,
ooh,
in cooperation with Chaney Entertainment and Ron Chaney, who's Lon Chaney Jr.'s grandson.
Let's go. What?
Right.
What
a world. What a world.
Congratulations, man.
We got a two-book deal. I was able to do a two-book deal with Chaney Entertainment. The other comic we're doing at Source Point Press is the unproduced sequel to the original Wolfman film.
Okay. You're living in heaven right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. Josh Werner, who's the editor, our editor-in-chief, co-founder of Source Point Press, he's the biggest Wolfman fan I know. He's a Wolfman shrine. I said, look, Josh, I'll project manage it. You write this one. You write it. Sorry. You adapt it. And he almost fainted. And I understand that the Wolfman is arguably a bigger property than London After Midnight. But again, Josh has done so much for me, so much for my career. He's one of the most selfless people I know. Mm-hmm. And I ask myself, do I really want to be greedy? Do I want both of these? Partially. But I just want London After Midnight. Give Josh the Wolfman. I'll be right in the world. And he is in heaven. He's going to be rocking that. I'm rocking London After Midnight. And, but yeah, again, a full circle moment, right?
That's so cool. Avatar. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I'm really excited about that coming out this October. So that'll be a lot of fun. On Kickstarter as well.
Let's get back to Right or Wrong, guys. I dropped that link in chat. Be sure to check it out with us. If you can back, we would love to see it, but putting this on Facebook and Twitter is 100% free. Word of mouth costs you nothing, and you have nothing to lose. So get to sharing if you can't back, but we would love to see this backing number go up some. We're looking at Right or Wrong, A Writer's Guide to Creating Comics, the second edition, currently at $7,310 of a $2,000, $222 goal, 175 backers, and 3 days left to go. Yeah. Project we love as well. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. Yeah, and make no mistake, man. We did have a couple higher pledge levels, and we still do. You can get like, the Turkmenian Library if you scroll down. You can get like 5 of my books all together in a bundle. You can just do add-ons of certain books, things like that. Mm-hmm. But this is mainly obviously you can add on the desk Dirk, right, the little figure. But mainly this is a campaign of $25 to $40 pledges. You know, there's some of our pledge levels right there. You know, I did offer some editing consultations or some writing consultations, things like that. But yeah, that Dirk Manning Library and the figure, you get Right or Wrong, Nightmare World, the complete collection, Hope, Volume 1, Special Edition, Haunted Hions, Curse of the Green Book, Cthulhu Jr., and the figure for $125.
That's a steal. Yeah, that is a
steal.
It's like
1,000 pages plus of content and a figure. It's like, here you go, man. Again, I'm not out to jam anybody up on this stuff. You know, I want to hook people up.
So real quick, guys, you can get the figurine for $20. You can get a physical copy of Right or Wrong at $25.
Free U.S. shipping, too, and all this. Ooh, everything's free U.S. shipping.
And then you have the figurine and the book combo at $45. The outstanding Welcome to My Nightmare package. So this is the 52-story genre-hyping horror anthology. How many pages is that again?
500.
Whoa. Well, that's almost 700 pages of comics, or over, close to 800, probably.
Oh, for the whole, yeah.
For both of them?
Thing, yeah.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, if Nightmare World, Right or Wrong, you're looking at between the book and that, you're looking at over 700, probably close to 800 pages of content for $75.
Yeah.
The next one, the Dirk Manning Library, I should probably count, but let's just say 500, 600, 700, 800. Yeah, you're definitely looking at over 1,000 pages of content, plus the figure.
For 50 bucks more. Yeah, 50 bucks more, you can get the whole library and figurine. And then the $200 tier, Show Me the Way. So, you know, what does this look like for anyone who's interested in getting this tier?
Yeah, we actually sold out of round one, so I did a second round for $225. What this does is it gets you the book, it gets you any other graphic novel you want, and you get the figure. And most importantly, you get a personal hour minimum Zoom session with me to talk about reviewing your script, to talk about putting together a Kickstarter campaign, to talk about, you know, whatever you need. If you want personal consultation, yeah, I joke with people, read the book first so you don't waste your time with me. You know, I don't want you to burn up your time on stuff that you're going to get in the book anyway. But that's if you really want to go to that next level and you want a personal consultation and you really want direct support, this is your opportunity. Plus, you get the book. Plus, you get a graphic novel of your choice. Even if you pick Nightmare World, you want Nightmare World, the complete collection? You want that giant book? Cool. I talk about Nightmare World more than almost any other book in the whole, well, more than any other comic I've written in Right or Wrong. and then you get the little figure just for fun, a little reminder.
That's so cool.
Really just a chance to sit down. We'll just sit down on Zoom and just talk directly about how I can help you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, paying it forward. You know, you're not going to get an offer like that from anybody else. I can't say that. That's not fair. I can say this. The only time you can get this offer from me is through this campaign. I don't have time to sit down for hours or so at a convention. I rarely leave the house if I'm not at a convention working.
You're a busy man at a convention. I seen you one time and you were surrounded.
Thank you. Well, I'm very fortunate. You know, I'm very, very fortunate that people are very supportive of my work. They appreciate what I do. I'm humbled every time. But this is an opportunity to sit down privately and let's just talk shop on what it is you want to know. How can I help you out? Show me the way. Here's what you want to know. You know, and we'll sit down, we'll talk, and I'll do what I can to give you direct support in helping you get to where you want to go.
And read that book so that way you're not, you know, asking questions that could already be answered. You know, save your good questions.
Yeah, and I tell you, it's like money in the bank. It's like, you had a whole year, right? It's not like you need to do it like now. Within a year, when you're ready, we'll set up a time. And these stretch goals too, man. If I can touch on this real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm so excited about this. Our first three rounds of stretch goals have been unlocked. So what that means is you get 9 bonus items. You get a digital copy of the first issue of Hope Volume 2, the first chapter of The Adventures of Cthulhu Jr. and Friends, and the first chapter, and this is in conjunction with Magic Media Entertainment, Twisted's label, the first chapter of Haunted Hyon's Curse of the Green Book.
That's so cool.
The whole comic, 22-page comic, each one, and you get the full script, digital copy of the comic, digital copy of the script. Then you also get an exclusive little digital, a little commentary about what went into writing these series. I mainly know as a horror guy. What went into writing my first superhero book that got picked up by Sourcepoint Press for their first ever entry to Free Comic Book Day? What went into doing an all-ages book that ended up getting a plushie out of it and everything else? And Haunted Hyons, what's it like to work with real people on a comic? So some additional content mm-hmm. there.
So isn't Curse of the Green Book, that's a Green Book is an album from them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The dust. I'm going to be spraying Faygo at the end of this interview. You got me.
I will say the Faygo is more ricey beating than the Twisted thing. But still, you can go bump Green Book. It's a great album.
Yeah.
you can think about going down to the Marshall Lagoon, you know, the Hamshabam, all that stuff. So, yeah, there are many references in Curse of the Green Book from the Green Book album.
Some very overt,
some a little more subtle. But I will say the villain in the Curse of the Green Book is Hamshabam.
I love it. And then some extra stretch goals as well. So if you want to go ahead and nail it off these as well, we still got a couple of days. We could hit one or two.
Oh, easily, right? You know, and a lot of times we surge towards the end. Get like a sticker for your laptop, for your notebook, things like that. You can get a bookmark. You can get a bookmark that's signed. So I'm a bookmark fiend.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And again, some people are like, we should have done these backwards to like get people to like work up to the free comics. That's not how I operate. All right. I'm coming in hot. I want people to give people the stuff that'll help them out. But if mm-hmm. we can get bookmarks and stickers and stuff too, I think that's really awesome.
So that is awesome. So right here is the Kickstarter in its entirety. Guys, right here is a link. Be sure to check this out. And like I said, if you can back, you definitely are not missing out. I had a chance to read 2 chapters and I loved what I read. But if you can't back, put this on Facebook and Twitter. Word of mouth is 100%. We have Brandon Lee joining us on Facebook on Job for Cody. Welcome on in. Thank you for joining us. I hope you're having a fantastic night as well.
Yeah.
Now, Dirk, after going through that Kickstarter in its entirety, for anyone who might be on the fence about backing, what would you like to say to them, kind of help convince them and push them over that fence?
You know, ultimately, this is about investing in yourself. And if you're in a position where you can't get the book on Kickstarter, it is free shipping, so you don't have to worry about that. The book will be available later in the year through Barnes & Noble, through Amazon, through comic book shops, things like that. But the thing about getting on Kickstarter is, one, you can get the add-ons, you know, like the bonus graphic novels and things like that, but you also get 3 digital comics for free, 3 full 22-page comic book scripts and commentary on that. That's for free. That's not going to be in the book. I don't even think that's going to be in Right or Wrong Volume 2. This is just a bonus support stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, $25, free shipping. I mean, you're not going to be able to beat that with a stick, right? You know?
Yeah.
and getting all that bonus content. I mean, if you buy those comics digitally separately, it's going to cost you more than that. And you're going to get content you can't get anyway. The other thing I tell people is, one of the other biggest compliments that I get about Right or Wrong, one of the things that just makes my heart go five sizes too big, is that I've had so many people tell me that they weren't necessarily interested in writing comics, maybe they're interested in writing prose novels, or even making albums, or artists, and they said reading Right or Wrong helped them fulfill their creative journey of what they wanted to do. Even if you look at the video on the Kickstarter page, one of the people in the video, Rebecca Rainier, she is a prose novelist, right? There's artists in there. And people that know me and have seen me at panels, at conventions and things like that, talk to me at shows, are more familiar with the Right or Wrong column from Newsarama back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they read this and it helped them. You know, my editor on the book, Leah Letterman, when she got done editing the original version of the book back in the day, I told her, I said, Leah, how, be honest with me, how miserable was it for you not being a comic person? Because I didn't want my editor to be a comic person on the first draft of this book.
That's smart.
I had my moments. You know, but I said, how miserable was it for you to go through and read 215 pages about comics? Now it's 260. And she told me, she goes, Dirk, personally and professionally, this book helped me so much. She is now a multi-time published writer. And I'm not saying that's just because I'm like, oh, you know, I mean, I'm not taking her agency. I'm not taking any credit for all the amazing work that she's done. She's one of my favorite writers. But she did tell me, she goes, this book helped me become, you know, in my path to be a published writer. Mm-hmm. Now she's a multi-time published writer. She has many, many accolades. And I've got shelves of books in my office of people that have, I almost tear up when this happens, but at a convention, people will come up to me and come to a panel I'm doing or buy a copy of Right or Wrong. And a year later or 2 years later, they come back to me and they say, this is a comic I wrote.
Oh.
I know, I'm trying not to cry right now talking about it. But it's so cool, man. You know, it's just about paying forward. That's what this is ultimately about. So if you're on the fence about getting this book, or if you know someone else who's a creative and they just can't get over the hump to getting it done, get them a copy of this book. You know, Christmas present, birthday present, pay it forward present, here, let me help you out present, here, mm-hmm. put me in your book in a favorable light present, you know. again, I'm funded. I'm not looking to get rich. I'm not out here with a tin can begging for money, and that's not what Kickstarter is about either. This is my opportunity to buy in, get a copy of the book, support the publication of the book, and then get free bonus stuff with it that you won't get later when you buy it in stores.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, you mentioned paying it forward. One of my favorite parts of this show is where, you know, we do a lot of promoting of the creator and talking about their book and their works. But I also love asking for a little bit of advice for anyone who might be listening. So mm-hmm. as someone who's nearing the half a million mark on Kickstarter, you know, half a million, Dirk, I got to ask, so, you know, a big piece of advice from you, you know, so for sure. anyone looking to do a Kickstarter for the first time, what's the single biggest, most important thing you would offer them? You know, what's the biggest thing they should try to do when doing their first Kickstarter?
This is going to sound really obvious at first, but I encourage you to stick with me for a second. In order to crowdfund, you must first have a crowd. That, again, people kind of sometimes get mad when I say it, but just stay with me. Because people have to know who you are and what you do.
Yep.
Then you have to be able to activate that crowd. On average, only 10% of your whole social media network will support your first campaign. And often, you know, 10% on average, your first time. So you have to look at how you interface and do, again, have you built a crowd for your stuff, you know? And then are you able to activate that crowd?
Yeah.
That's the other one. The other thing is I would tell people, start with the thing you're most passionate about. Don't wait to someday get to that one thing. Start with the thing that's most passionate to you. My first comic was Nightmare World. And man, and I talk about this in Right or Wrong, which again, RightorWrongBook.com will take you right to the Kickstarter. I talk about it in this book at length. For a guy that had never created a comic book, written a comic book in my life, to start down a journey of doing an anthology of 52 8-page stories, and then publish online and be one of the first people to publish fully realized comics online, I was definitely punching above my weight class. Very much punching above my weight class. But that's the thing that I was most passionate about. And that's what kept me going. You talked about earlier about working two jobs. The greatest, one of the greatest moments of my career is when I was able to send everybody that worked with me at Mint Merrill a check. But my greatest, one of my other greatest moments of my career is the first time I got published on paper. But the greatest moment of my career, I think, was not either of those things. It's when I was able to quit my second job that I was using to fund creating comics, because my comics were now paying for themselves.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And that's what this book is about, right? That the book is that story. I talk about flaws and warts and all the things I went through and the mistakes I made, you know, because people need to know. There are books out there about writing, and they go from write a comic, poof, published. Where's the meat in that sandwich, right? There's mm-hmm. a big spread in the middle there that we got to talk about. But in regards to Kickstarter, again, you got to have a crowd.
Yeah.
In regards to being a writer, start with the thing you're most passionate about, because it, like you said earlier, Cody, it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. There's an old Steven Tyler joke. It takes a lot of money to look this poor. You know, he used to say, yeah. I've kind of absconded with that and tweaked it a little bit. And I say, it takes a lot of effort to make it look this easy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not going to be easy. And here's the other advice I can give anybody doing a Kickstarter. You will never work harder than when you run a Kickstarter, even if it gets funded in 2 hours. Right or Wrong was funded in under 2 hours. You will still never work harder than when you're running a Kickstarter campaign. Mentally, physically, the toll it takes on you.
Yeah.
And they're transparent. I can't hide my numbers.
Yep.
I can't say the multi-million dollar. It's right there, man. You brought up on the screen, Mingo, yourself, right? The pre-sales are $7,000+. But when you run the risk of not getting funded, I mean, that's the thing. You run the risk of not getting funded, if you're not careful.
They could all change. You got to put that up. You got to keep punching up no matter what.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you got to have that crowd. And you got to build that crowd. You got to nurture it. I mean, we talk about that in the book too. So that'd be my biggest thing for crowdfunding.
I love it. So last but not least, I mean, let's end this podcast on a strong note. What are you consuming outside of creating? Well, hold up. Well, back up. I forgot to ask, you know, what's next for you in 2023? I got so immersed in this conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
We forgot to ask about what's the next thing coming out.
Let me see. A couple things coming out. Hope Volume 2.
Okay.
Which is probably the book that people have been asking me about the most since the first volume ended. Hope Volume 2 comes out this month. Give me a 4-issue miniseries. People were devastated and emotionally invested and losing their minds at the end of Hope Volume 1. legit, Hope is the scariest book I write. And I write Tales of Mystery, which is probably like the most horror book I write, but Hope is the scariest. Hope Volume 2, all I'm going to say is I know my assignment. Get ready. If you have tears, prepare to shed them now, right? So Hope Volume 2 with Sally Scott, 4-issue miniseries. We'll then do a Kickstarter for the Kickstarter exclusive hardcover edition of that book before the trade paperback comes out. After that, doing a new series, again, a series I wanted to write for a very long time called Homestead. It's a werewolf western. Les Garner is the artist. He did Apocalypse Girl for Sourcepoint Press. Rob Blackhawk is our consultant on this. Very proud member of the Lakota Nation. Super excited to be working with him on this book to make sure that the things we talk about are very authentic. He's been wonderful.
I love that.
Drina Joe is our editor on both of those books. She's absolutely an amazing editor, one of the best freelance editors in the business right now. London After Midnight with Cheney Entertainment. That's a pretty big deal. We just signed and have started working on another major, how can I say this without giving it away? We're working with a very major player in the world of contemporary horror on a new graphic novel.
Ooh.
I'm so excited about that. The graphic novel I did with Arne Anderson will be coming out here pretty quickly. Haunted High Ends Volume 2, the trade paperback, will be coming out pretty quickly. That's a good start.
Yeah, yeah. Busy, busy man. So we won't hold you much longer. So let's get back to it. You know, outside of creating, what are you consuming? You know, TV shows, books, comics, you know, what are you consuming outside of making stuff?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a voracious reader. I love to read. Television I don't get to watch as much of, so I'm very behind. I'm really looking forward to watching Andor finally.
Mm-hmm. You know? And I haven't watched it either.
Okay, good. Yeah, so I want to watch those. I'm finishing up last season of Better Call Saul right now. Comic, I'm going to give a big shout out to a SourcePoint book. Anybody who likes horror should be reading this book, Deep Dark. Oh, and I'm not saying this because it's a SourcePoint book. I'm saying it because this book destroyed me in how good it is.
Oh,
it
I love that.
Absolutely everything I love in a horror book. I mean, it is beautifully illustrated. I mean, look at it.
Here, hold up. Give me 1 second. We'll go ahead and give you the
look at this real quick, man. Look at that art of the first page alone.
That's detailed.
Right. Incredible books. I'm really excited about that. I've been reading that. I'm actually going to be off the road for the most part. I'm doing Astronomicon 6.5 in Livonia, Michigan in June. Other than that, and then I'm doing Monroe Comic Con in September. And then October, I'll be like shot out of a cannon again. Cinema Wasteland, New York Comic Con, mm-hmm. Fantasticon Fort Wayne. But this summer, I'm going to be doing a lot of writing, obviously. A new big horror book, especially. But also, like I said, I just want to maybe catch up on, maybe get to watch a movie here and there. I haven't seen, I really want to see the Mario movie. You know, I heard it's great. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
I want to see Dungeons and Dragons movie. I haven't seen that yet. But I'll tell you what I like to do is when I take some time off to watch a movie, because I'm a big horror guy, I'm going to tell you right now, Shudder. Shudder is such a cool streaming service. It has a cost attached. So if you can't do that, Tubi. If you are a fan of like 80s, 90s horror movies, especially Tubi, T-U-B-I, it is ad supported. The ads are not overly intrusive. So much cool stuff where I consider like the gore age. Wow. The golden age of like.
I love the gore horror. Age though. I think you just coined a new phrase.
Yeah, jinx, and dibs. But aside from that, I mean, that I guess that's some of the main stuff. But again, mainly, honestly, I do a lot of writing, but I love the work of Eric Powell, Dave Lapham. If he did Stray Bullets forever, I would be delighted. other stuff that I can't really talk about because I don't want to overextend my hand on some other things I'm working on that might do with some of the other media I'm consuming. But that's some of the big ones right there. And honestly, I'm a huge wrestling fan, obviously, so I love watching. WWE's been really engaging again. AEW continues mm-hmm. to just, you know, rock everything. So that's where I'm at on that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for the awesome conversation. This was amazing, Dirk. I really appreciate it. We got to get you on another time. I feel like I could just talk to you for literally
I would love that, man.
Yeah,
like this is phenomenal. You do such a service for creators, and I really appreciate that. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's not like I'm going to have books coming out, so we can talk Hope 2, and people are going to want to, you know, probably drag me through the streets and tar and feather me after they read the end of Hope 2 and Homestead and stuff. But, yeah, anytime you want to have me on, man, I would love to chat.
Yeah, let's make it happen. Everyone watching right there are the links. Make this book's already happened, but make it happen on your bookshelf by backing it today. And if you can't back, put it on Facebook or Twitter. Word of mouth is 100% free. Hope you all have a lovely Monday, but most importantly, guys, keep it geekly.